thank you, Lord, for this fertile soil. Look at what you're all doing. People have come to your church. This church is alive and ready for God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, everybody got to pray for Deacon Sergio. There's nothing wrong with him. He's going to need his rest. Y'all know he gets up at 4:30 in the morning to go to work. But his football team is not playing till 8 o'clock tonight, which means it won't be over till 11:30. So he'll be a tired man tomorrow, so y'all pray for that. And I thank God this morning that Walter and Gene are here. You say, why did you say that? Because we got a call on Thursday from Gene. She forgot to take her medication. And they found her in the snow. No, she's not taking her medication for a couple of days, and she started to, her blood pressure was up. And thank you, Walter, for being so calm about it all. But she called us, and we just prayed and prayed and prayed, and she called back later. Thank you, by the way, for calling back afterwards with the results, because some people forget to do that. She's saying, I'm fine. They just gave me some of my medicine, and I'm fine. So Walter and Gene are here today, and I give God the glory.
She says, I need prayer.
That's right. Let's stand up and pray to God ourselves this morning. Y'all got something you're praying for? So we go to Him with thanksgiving. So this morning, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory for everything in our life. We give you the glory for this world, for the sunshine this morning and all the beauty that we see. We give you the glory. We come with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord, before we ask. We thank you for who you are and what you've done in our lives already and what you promised to do. And we just hold on to them, Lord, with everything that we have because we love and worship you in this house, in this fertile soil, Lord, that you have blessed this building. We invite you in, the Holy Spirit in. We invite Jesus. We invite the angels to be with us this morning. So let peace rule your heart and rule your mind. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Yeah. t-shirts for sale for $29.99. The great Jesse Payne Club. We just love, you know, we love the love in this church. We love it. Everybody here, look around. Look at everybody. We're a family in this place of dry ground. If you look around, that church is closed. That church is closed. Some people might say this is dry ground. We talked about it at the Bible study, but it's not dry ground right here. It's fertile soil, right? This is God's house, and things will grow in here. We just, you need to help it grow. We all need to water it. That means we all need to take care of other people and take care of ourselves and water it. And when other people come to visit us, they need to feel like they've been welcomed here all their life, and that's what it's all about. So I'm just so grateful to God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I need you to stand. If you'll sing with us, my bride will sing. And then you're under PG Grace. Right there. I surrender all. You surrender to God, your heart, and just, He can do so much more. If you just surrender, get out of your own thoughts and let God lead you. Don't get ahead of God. Let me say that again. Don't get ahead of God. Yeah, no, pray. Don't do it. Praise God. Just trust God.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give.
Promises you find in what book? Your holy Bible. enjoy yourself. All these promises are in your Bible. How many read the Bible every day? How many read your Bible twice a day? How many just open up and read somewhere? I know it's fun. And when you read something and you understand it, you want to read more. That's the trick of the Bible, right? It makes you all excited when you find something you didn't know before and say, what else can I find? What other nuggets can I find? Hallelujah. Let's do our responsive reading. I always like to say, let's see what Marilyn picked out for us today. Responsive reading, Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. See, you're already doing that. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You're already doing it. Let us exalt his name together. Doing it already. They looked to him who was radiant and their faces were not ashamed. All is trouble. The angel of the Lord camps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The angels of the Lord are camped around us right now. Really, right now, I'm just really, how many do you want to see it? How many want to see it? You see it in faith, but isn't it the angels are camped right around the gym? I mean, really, right now. Yeah. I'm so excited. Maybe you're not excited, no? I get excited, but just thinking about that. The angels of the Lord are camped all around us right now. It's in your Bible. How many trust the Bible? All right. According to Esther, what did many people do after Mordecai made the decree to let the Jews protect themselves? That's a great story in Esther, where Mordecai says he's going to allow the Jews to protect themselves because a lot of people were coming against them. And they said, and they were not allowed to protect themselves against the army. And then Mordecai said, no, they're going to be able to defend themselves. So what did many people do? Did they join the army? Did they leave the kingdom? Or did they become Jews? What did many people do after Mordecai made the decree that let the Jews protect themselves? How many did they join the army? How about they left the kingdom? They got out of them. We're getting out of here. Or they became Jews. Because they feared them, they became Jews. See, they're not foolish people. I know you said just recently you read that story of Esther. And just, you know, they became Jews so that they wouldn't get in trouble. When an enemy army tried to capture the prophet Elisha, what was it that Elisha's frightened servant couldn't see at first? When the army came around and they tried to capture the prophet Elisha, what is it that Elisha's frightened servant couldn't see at first? The approaching storm, God's heavenly army, or the Pharaoh's soldiers? What was it that the Elisha's frightened servant couldn't see at first? How many think an approaching storm? The approaching storm? How many God's heavenly army? And how many Pharaoh's soldiers he couldn't see? Now, you see, I kind of gave that one away earlier. What did I just say? What is surrounding us this morning? God's heavenly angels. The Bible said God's heavenly angels. And you see, and Elisha's servant was fearful. He saw the army coming. And Elisha was calm. Why? Because he couldn't see the army of God around them. He couldn't see the angels around them. That's what it said. God's heavenly army. Those are angels. Amen? You see, that's what we just spoke about. You see, Elisha was afraid. Elisha's servant was. Elisha was. Because he said, oh my, look at all these people. You might think there's a lot of things against you. You might think the world is coming against you. But if you see spiritually, you see, that's crazy. And you almost laugh at it because you see God's heavenly angels. You see, that's spiritual. It's in your Bible. Amen? That's spiritual. Whether you grab it right now like a... You should see. You say, put a hedge of protection around me. You put the angels around your car because you call that out and God will hear that. You invite the angels to be here. I believe that if we could see spiritually, we wouldn't be able to speak. It would be so beautiful. my feelings. What did God tell Ezekiel? I love this one. Tell Ezekiel to do as initially he spoke to him. There's God and there's Ezekiel. So what does he tell Ezekiel to do? Stand up, kneel,
or pray.
What did God tell Ezekiel to do as initially he spoke to them? How many think he told them, stand up? Stand up. How many say, kneel? How many think, pray? This is so great. God was talking to him and he said, stand up. Stand up so I can talk to you. When you went to your father, when you wanted, you know, to buy a new bicycle, or when you were, did you go near and kneel there right at his feet? Oh, Father, oh, God, I need it. God wanted Ezekiel to stand there and speak to him. Isn't that awesome? According to Ezekiel, too. How was Jezebel killed? How many heard that Jezebel, How was she killed? Was she eaten by lions? Was she trampled by camels? Oh, or was she thrown through a window? Lordy. So how was Jezebel killed? How many think she was eaten by lions? Anybody got that? How about trampled by camels? Oh, that would be awesome. How about thrown from a window? David, you raise your hand twice. And I think I know why, except she was thrown through a window. And she was eaten by dog. Her bones and all. But God, there was nothing left. You know, people say, is there that kind of stuff in the Bible? Yes, it's in the Bible. 2 Kings. She was thrown through the window and eaten by dog. I think Dave, me too. When I first said it, I said, well, wasn't it lying? But no. I don't know where the trampled by camels came from. My high school friend is here. Joe's here today. Hi, Joe. It's your first time with us, right?
Yes.
Don't get afraid. We have a lot of fun in church. You're able to smile and laugh because I think laughter is a really good medicine, so we do it in God's house because we're laughing with the Lord. Amen. We're laughing with each other. We have that quiz every day. We have a quiz on Sundays. Multiple choice, but we really don't look and see who gets the answers wrong. Yeah. Thank Marilyn again for the bulletin. You're going to see in your bulletin today some of the scripture readings that are going to be pertinent to the sermon. So you hang on to that and you can read those with me. As I start out, I'll probably make you laugh again. Some of these things will probably make you laugh for a minute, be funny, but after a few minutes, I'm going to get deadly serious when I share what we're going to share today. But at first, you're just going to smile. And anybody ever watch football? And how many know that they gamble on football? They pick football and baseball and basketball. And they have anybody horse racing? Everybody went to a horse race. They give you you can buy a pamphlet, and the experts will tell you who's going to win every race. They predict the winner of every race. They do that in football too. You watch a certain channel, they're going to tell you why this team's better than that team and how they're going to win. They're predicting. You see that all the time. 1939, New York Times. The problem with television is that people must sit and keep their eyes glued on a screen. The average American family hasn't time for that. Therefore, Walter, the showmen are convinced that for this reason, if for no other reason, television will never be a serious competitor to broadcasting. How was that? 1985. On the whole, people don't want to lug a computer with them to the beach or on a train to while away the hours. They would rather spend reading the sports or business section of the newspaper. The real future of the laptop computer will remain in the specialized niche markets. Because no matter how inexpensive the machine becomes, and no matter how sophisticated their software, I still can't imagine the average user taking one along going fishing. Not too good, right? Another one. In 1963, I believe it was, a record company said, we don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out. Decca Records saying no to the Beatles. Not good, right? A DJ, Eddie Bond, in 1954, told somebody, stick to your day job, you're never going to make it as a singer. The man's name? Elvis Presley. The horse is here to stay, but the automobile is only a novelty. It's a fad, 1903. Prediction, president of Michigan Savings Bank not to invest in the Ford Motor Company. As the Bible tells us over and over again, Matthew 24, but over and over again, nobody knows the time, not the angels. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. Say that with me. Nobody knows. Bible says, oh, Matthew said, Matthew 20, only the Father knows. It says that plainly. Yet, people want to predict when he's coming. I almost think the more I read this and the more I studied it, it's an insult to the Bible, isn't it? I say, well, they're curious. I say, you could be curious all you want. You can make your little notes, but they start predicting it. They start prophesying it. They were telling us. The Baptist minister, William Miller, prophesied the second coming of Jesus before March 21st, 1844. Then, April 18th, 1844. Then, October 22nd. 1844. Anabaptist Church, the millennium will occur in 1533. How'd that work out? Assemblies of God, the end would come no later than 1934 or 35. How about that? The Calvary Church, the generation, this is a good one. The generation of 1948 to be the last generation, which would mean any time before 1981. However, it is possible that the last generation is 1967, bringing it to the year 2000. How'd that work? The Mennonites, March 1889. Was going to be March of 1889. And this one, I don't mean to pick on people, but this is the truth. Jehovah's Witnesses, 1874, 1878, 1914, 1918. And 1975, they were telling people, according to the Watchtower Society, 1975, sell your house. Sell your property and get ready, for the time is coming. That was the fun part. Now I want to get real serious. I'm going to read in your Bible, in our Bible. You have a little bit of it in your bulletin. I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 18, starting at 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. This is Moses. Can I get an amen? This is the Holy Spirit speaking to Moses approximately 1,500 years before Jesus. How many? 1,500. None of you were there then, but the Bible. You have your Bible, amen? You have your Bible. You have Deuteronomy, the Old Testament, the Torah, the five books. And God is saying, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet, capital P, like me. And that's Moses from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, and him again, capital H, that Jesus. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, excuse me, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, not let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes this, listen, but the prophet who presumes presumes to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. 1,500 years before Jesus, you have Moses writing in Deuteronomy that God will send a son. He will send a prophet. He will send Jesus to us. And we need to listen to him. And when we listen to him, we'll be saved. When we listen to him, we'll have that connection to God. 1,500. How's that working out? Do you think that was a pretty good prophecy? How many think that was good? That was in your Bible. That's a prophecy from your Bible that took 1,500 years. But did God honor it? The word is yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Zechariah 9:9, your scripture reading. This is the prophet Zechariah. Listen. Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. That was Zechariah, Deacon Sergio, in the Old Testament. Prophesying about who? Jesus coming to Jerusalem on a donkey. Let me read from Matthew. Matthew, Jesus says, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. You get where I'm going here? That was a prophecy by Zechariah. Did it come true?
Yes.
How did he know? Hundreds of years. In your Bible. It's in your Bible. That's the truth of your Bible. David, in Psalm 22. I don't know if you ever read that, Psalm 22 of David. He wrote this. Thank you. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. He was prophesying the crucifixion of who? Jesus. He was talking about, he said, for dogs have surrounded me, meaning my enemies. My enemies have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. Amen. There was only a few people that with Jesus, but everybody else was staring at him. Everybody else was looking at him. They were mocking him. They pierced my hands and my feet. Is that true? Yes. I count all my bones, which means they never broke my bones. I could count all my bones. How many bones did they break in Jesus? None. They broke none of them. And David is saying that, right? Hundreds of years. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing, they cast lots. According to John 19, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing, they cast lots. Holy cow. Did David get that right?
Yep.
So your Bible's got that prophecy about David talking about Jesus. Hundreds of years before. How could he know unless your Bible is true and living word? This Bible is moving. My book is alive. I don't know about yours, but you can almost see it breathing. Amen? That's what I'm trying to tell you. This book is alive. It's breathing. And it gives you truth. Truth that men don't understand. Men, and they just don't. It gets better. It just gets better. Isaiah 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. This is the prophet Isaiah. How does he know? Except the Holy Spirit and God is speaking. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. The Lord himself. Who would think of something like that? That a woman would conceive and bear a son, and you'll call. Who could even think that unless God was teaching? Are you with me? Understand what I'm saying? This is so amazing. Because I want you to get, therefore the Lord himself will give you this. Behold, the virgin shall conceive. The virgin shall conceive. Amen? How did he know? Because God spoke to him. The Holy Spirit, he saw it in the vision. That's how he knew. And it's in your Bible, in the Old Testament. How many think it's real? I'm saying to you, this book is so on fire, and when you start hearing it, say, boy, I really got to get into this book. And it gets better. Amen? It gets better. Isaiah 40 talks, says, prepare the way and prepare the way for the Lord. Isaiah 40 is telling us to prepare. Who said that? John the who? He's predicting that he's prophesying that John the Baptist is going to say, prepare the way for the Lord, or he's coming right behind you. Did it happen? Yes. How did he know? God told him. And how do you know? It's in your Bible. You can prove it. There's no doubt that what happened, happened. The only thing you have to understand is in your book, it's a live book that's telling you what happened. These people are not just throwing words out. You're not just reading words. You're reading the truth. And you're reading it in your Bible. No other book but this book. I don't care about other books. I don't care to even read other books. Because everything in this book is worth digging into. Right, Brother Jim? The more you dig into this book, you realize this is the place to be. Thank you, Lord. It gets better. Who wants more? I'm serious. Now, this ain't pretty, but Isaiah, we got a couple of more from Isaiah, but this is one of the most famous prophecies, and the one that pertains to us in the greatest of ways. Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Wow. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we are healed. The chastisement of for our peace was upon him. This is hundreds of years before Jesus. The Holy Spirit gave Isaiah the vision. It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. You say, I know I read it, but I want you to understand. It was a prophecy that came to be. How would they know unless God told them? You're reading God's words. You're reading it right here in your book. That's the Bible. That's the truth of the Bible. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. How did he know? He prophesied that. You know, I read all these other prophecies, and I know we laughed about the Beatles and the guy refusing the Beatles. There's other ones that were just so much fun to read. Anybody here, Michael Jordan? They told him he would never make it in basketball. He couldn't play a good defense. Michael Jordan, maybe the greatest basketball player of all time, or one of them. There's so many prophecies and predictions, especially the Jesus' second coming, which is something you better start thinking about. Because I've seen billboards and I've seen ministries fall because they decided, let's prophesy when he's coming. And God said, nobody knows with the Father. So I'm thinking, what are you doing? If God, the Bible says, nobody knows but the Father, evidently he didn't want you to know. So what are you saying to God that you're trying to do? Well, I'm not saying that you can't do it at home and you can't use a little imagination. But when you predict or prophesy that it was going to happen, and then one of them said, sell your houses because the time is now. The money's not good. Just sell your house. And people did it. Instead of reading the word and saying, well, the Bible says only the Father knows. So how can you know? Did God speak to you? He doesn't speak a new word. Amen. That's one of the things for me, in my opinion, when you get these new person and say, oh, I'm a new, you know. He doesn't speak. He doesn't need to speak a new word. That's the thing that makes me crazy myself. God doesn't need to tell somebody else something that he didn't tell us in this book. I don't care how you think you know this book. You don't know everything. Me, I don't know everything. I know so little but I know that everything I need to know is in this book. And somebody said, well, I got a new book. I heard from God. Why? Why did God have to tell you something that's not in the book? That's all I want to know. You know, people say, you know, I see this. I saw it the other day. They have oil. You can order the book, and you can, maybe Miss Jean, you can watch it. And they have a book, And you can, it's $39.95 for the book, but wait, we have oil and we have this other book, and for $89.95 you can get the oil and you can bless yourself with the oil and get a double blessing. I said, why would I need a double blessing from God? If God blesses me, trust me, it's going to be all you need. If you get a double blessing, what are you going to get, right? And then they say, but wait. No, I'm serious. For $139, you can get some vitamin C tablets and some other things. Now they got their own vitamins. I don't know. Hey, listen, I'm not judging them. I'm just saying, telling you the truth. You need to hear the truth. You need to know the truth. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Did Jesus complain? No. Did he? No. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers in silence, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken prisoner and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Wow. You have people sitting there in the synagogues or sitting wherever they're and read that. You know, back in the day when he wrote that, they said, what the heck is he talking about? Talking about God. How would he know such a thing? God told him. And how can I know that? Because did it happen? Yes. Did he prophesy that? Yes. Is it sound impossible? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Micah is a minor prophet. Anybody hear that expression, minor prophet and major prophet, minor prophet? That's such a silly thing. It's silly that we, you know why he's a minor prophet? Because his letter was a little shorter than everybody else's. And not that he wasn't telling the truth or he wasn't major because he didn't write 10 pages. He just wrote 2 or 3. Oh, he's a minor prophet. He heard from God. Oops. I guess that makes him major, amen? Amen. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, who's going forth and from of old, from everlasting. Wow. People say nothing good's going to come out of Bethlehem. Nothing good. And then you read it, John, and John 7 says, has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Micah, the minor prophet. That's some pretty major news. And they didn't believe it back in the day, because even the Pharisees, when they first saw him, said, he's from Bethlehem. Nothing good comes from Galilee. Nothing. That's not him. Because that's what they believed. But they didn't read Micah. They never opened up and saw that Micah prophesied that he would come out of where? Bethlehem. It's in your bulletin. These are wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Quiet on me now. This is all good stuff. That's right. There you go. Sorry, I lost my place. This was quite the work. I mean, there was a lot going on here this week for me to try to get it all in order. So, praise God. I want we talked about the Old Testament, and we talked about prophecies in the Old Testament. And how many are with me that the Old Testament prophecies were amazing from God? I mean, do you really believe, can you really see, Walter, what the depth of the Old Testament and the value of the Old Testament and those people writing this all down, taking the time for us to know what's in the Bible? how good it was and how right they were talking about God. That's what makes your book alive and well. It's moving. It's like the muscle. It just, the more you know, it just gets stronger. Well, we have prophecy about now, and we got it from Paul. Paul's telling us about today. He's writing in the year 66, in the year of our Lord 66. And what's the year today? 2022. Wow. You remember 2000? Everybody thought everything was going to get shut off. I think we got by that. How was that prophecy?
Wrong.
In the beginning of football season and baseball season, the experts, I love it, right? Predict who's going to win the World Series. And they give them odds. And the Dodgers have the best odds. And the Yankees. And the Braves. And the Dodgers, the Yankees, and Braves, they're not there right now. They were
wrong.
They do that all the time. Your Bible is what? Not wrong. Say that with me. My Bible is not wrong. So Paul says in 2 Timothy, but you know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemies, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Let me read that again. Without self-control. One more time. Without self-control. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. Have you seen anything like this? I mean, it's getting crazy out there. We all say it. Everybody said it's getting crazy out here. The way people treat each other, the way people are acting, that's not godly. When you're mad at somebody because they disagree with you, that's not godly. That's nothing. Amen? That's awful. That's the work of Satan. That's the dry ground. Did you read what Paul said in 2 Timothy? He said the last time, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Wow. Unforgiving. Imagine that. Somebody says they're sorry. I don't care. You still need to be fired. You said something 20 years ago. I want that person fired. Unforgiving. None of us have anything to do with 150 years ago, but they want you to pay for the wrong that was done. They're not unforgiving. Amen. The world could be improved tomorrow if everybody just stood up and said, I forgive you. If all the people on the planet stood up and said, I forgive you, imagine how the planet would look. Imagine how people would be. It's over. All the bad, I forgive you. I can't fix it. I can't change it. Those are the things that happened, but I forgive you. You weren't there. Your fathers weren't there. Your grandfathers weren't. So I forgive you. Unforgiving. That's the devil's work. Amen? You see it. I'm not making it up. I'm not trying to make it worse. I don't have to. They're lovers. They're not lovers of God. They're traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. He said, from such people turn away. That's what he said, right? He didn't say to throw a rock at him, amen? He didn't say to hit him with a stick. He said, turn away. Without self-control. That's all this is about. No self-control. You ever walk into a store and see what something you want, just pick it up, put it in your pocket, walk out? No. Maybe you did it once, and maybe I stole the plug from Frank's Market on Lister Street when I was 6 years. He used to have the market, he used to have the baskets of fruit out in front of the store. Ever remember those days when and people just walked by, and me and my friends, we decided we're going to run because we run so fast and grab by, and we grabbed a little plum, probably cost 3 cents. See how that, if I remember that today. Amen? I don't know why I went there. I shouldn't be confessing. But no self-control. People go into stores now and they want something, they pick it up and walk out of the store. That's not self-control. That's not. It's not right. And people say, well, that's not enough money to worry about. No, because if they learn that they can take that, then they can take this.
And the next thing, well, I can take this and I can take that. That's how it works. That's what the Bible said. One of my favorite scriptures said, if you don't stop that, then the heart gets hardened, saying, well, if I can do that, I can do that. I can take your car. I'm going to take your car. I'm going to take your wheel. No self-control. I got a little bit more. Can I do a little bit more? Because I got really good news. How many want? If you want, I can stop now. Because I want to give you just a little about the future. How many want to, and from the Bible, not from your pastor. I can't tell you the future. I don't know. But I want to read to you. And now that you all know that the Old Testament is everything, and Paul is prophesying everything, so you might say, what else does the Bible say? You might say, what else did the Bible say?
What else did the Bible say?
Boy, you guys are tough.
Funny you should ask.
Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, and this is one of my favorite scriptures. I ever say that? A lot.
A lot.
Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Yes. Wow. God has prepared things so beautiful you can't even imagine. I mean, it's like you should get like goosebumps, or you should. I'm saying, if everything else is true, that has to be true too, right? That's not going to be wrong. Everything has been predicted up to here. It's not going to, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. How many love God? Oh, you don't know what you're going to get. You might not put your hand up. Says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come,
the Almighty. Give him praise. Sometimes I say, forgive us for our iniquities, and it's hard to go, well, what did I do? Maybe you didn't go with thanksgiving when you talked to him. Maybe you said something negative. Maybe the little things that you did. Remember, God hears all. He knows all. So Lord, forgive us for our iniquities. And we didn't praise you and give you glory for the beautiful sky and the beautiful sun before we asked you for a favor. Forgive us, Lord, that we didn't say thank you for the breath that we breathe and the clothes that we put on this morning and the car that we drove. So we give you praise and glory for that, Lord, but even greater, we give you praise and glory for your Son. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us and cleanse us so we can do this as Jesus poured the wine into a cup, that this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Drink this and do this in remembrance of Jesus. In Jesus' name, church. Just did, according to the Bible. Wow. You're in obedience to the Word of God right now. You're in obedience to the Word. This is probably the most obedient you're going to be all day long. You know why? Because you're going to talk to me. And that's going to be just marching. But right this second, you are obedient. You are obedient. You are saints in heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb books of life. Wow. How do I know that? It's in the Bible. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry, but I believe that book. If somebody said to me, it's just a book, I'd just walk away. What do you do?
Walk away.
Turn away. You don't yell at them, I'm sorry. You don't hit them with a pipe, I'm sorry. You don't run them over with the car, I'm sorry. God told you what to do. Turn away. He keeps in perfect peace those who have that kind of trust in him. Oh, that we could all get to that point. I'll say it again. If we could ever get to that perfect peace where you trust him with everything perfectly, that your whole body would be different. And that's how great our God is. Amen? How great our God is. Thank you. Give him praise, sir. This would be great. Humble. All right. This is the most beautiful time of the church where you give to the church, you give to God. And it really is special. Your tithing is all that, you know, feeds the church. And it's just, we don't preach on it because, you know, what am I going to do? Like preaching to the choir. But God says to be a cheerful giver. And when Sergio brings up the offering, we are humbled by you. This is your church.
where you come to get the food. Once we said on Bible study, this isn't dry ground at all. This is fertile soil. It might be dry ground across the street and below and all around us, but this is fertile soil. And the only reason is because you're here to receive God's word. You're making the soil fertile. His word is everywhere. His word is across the street. It's on the green. It's everywhere. But you pull it to here, and it's a special place, and you're giving. It's special to God. Because you're showing God, thank you for my job. Thank you for my blessings. Thank you, Lord. And then you want God to increase that, you just increase. I used to tell people, don't try to outgive him. Don't try to be overwhelming, because he knows your heart too. Just give out of your love. And that's what the Bible says. So let's rise and take the offering.
Praise God.
Light from above.